Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Hello listeners, and welcome back to another episode of The Beautiful Game. I'm with my main man Dej, and we've also got a very special guest today.
Yeah, I'm doing good, though. Been looking forward to this episode. This is someone that we've seen grow, develop, and I'm looking forward to unpicking his story because it's one where there's been a lot of hope, there's been setbacks, but also there's going to be the comeback, and we're looking forward to see where the next stage of his journey leads him.
And we're definitely looking forward to the comeback. So before we go into it, I just want to plug our socials. The Beautiful Game podcast on YouTube, at podcast_TBG on Twitter, and at pod_TBG on Instagram. Hit the like button and subscribe to the channel. So today we're happy to announce that we're joined with Charlie Musunda. How are you, brother?
I'm good, guys. Thank you for having me on.
No, I love. We've been trying to get this one done for a few weeks. So we said, listen, we'll travel down and make it happen, man. So we're happy to have you on, bro.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So look, let's just, you know, deep dive into it. Where are you at the current moment? Like, what are you doing now as things stand?
So, yeah, right now I'm just getting fit, training with the under-23s at Chelsea from now until the end of the season. Then obviously, I don't know if you guys saw, but I just released an Instagram post, I think a couple of weeks ago, that I'm just now seeing out my contract, and I'm going to leave the club after 10 years at Chelsea. So that's basically what I'm doing now. I'm training the 23s, staying fit. It's good to be back on the pitch again after a long time. I'm happy just training, really. And then we'll see what happens next year.
I saw that and I was like, rah, this is very, very emotional. So was that decision led by the club, or did you say, you know what, I want to leave?
It definitely wasn't my decision. Obviously, I came at Chelsea at 15 years old. My dream, my ambition was always to play for Chelsea. And I always said I was either going to leave because I wasn't good enough or if I was told I have to go. Obviously, having been out for the last two or three years, it was a bit difficult with my injury. I did everything I could. I worked as hard as I could last year. More importantly, everything with COVID and everything that was going on to just be fit. To be able to be a part of to be with the first team, obviously, in the pre-season, which was something I did, and I was very happy about it. I was very optimistic that I was going to be able to train with the first team and be back in the team for pre-season, obviously, and then build up my fitness. So that was always my goal. So I put everything in terms of getting back to that stage, which I ultimately did. And then the pre-season started. I was feeling really well.
Yeah, we saw the pictures on Sky Sports. I saw you drink water. Everyone's like, you know what, Masunda's back now, innit? Hopefully we can see him kick on.
Yeah, I was fully fit. So I was back ready to be the first team squad. I obviously was in the pre-season squad, which was great. So I was so happy, obviously, just being on the pitch, training again with the guys. Being back at Cobham, obviously, after such a long time was fantastic for me. And then we went for pre-season, the pre-season tour in Ireland. So we trained for like a week And then we had a game against Peterborough. I just missed out on that game because I had a niggle, but it wasn't anything too big. Missed out on that game. And then we travelled to Ireland for pre-season. And then there was a couple of games there, and then a game against Bournemouth, I think it was, and a week after against Arsenal, and then the league was starting. I think the Super Cup game against Villarreal.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened is we went to Ireland. I was fit, back into training. And then the day before the first game in Ireland, I had COVID. So I was out for 10 days. So I had to stay over there. The team travelled back. They came all the way back here. They played against Bournemouth and Arsenal. I missed out on those games. I was out for 10 days. And then after that, basically, I was very upset, obviously, because I'd worked hard to get back into the preseason fold. So from there, after coming back, I was still feeling great. I mean, I had a good relationship with the manager that was there. Spoke with him. He had a good understanding of where I was, my situation after 2 years. And we had the same plan, really. But it was obviously my contract situation that I had a year left, which was this year. And so that had nothing to do with the manager. He knew basically what I wanted to do. I expressed that I wanted to stay and be a part of the squad, work my way up, obviously through merit, by training hard and basically getting more and more fitness and momentum throughout the season. And I explained my situation. He understood very, very, very clear where I was, and he was optimistic. He was very happy about the way I was training, the way I was moving as well. So I had no problems there. And then obviously the main thing was over in my head was the contract. So that was the situation, really.
But was there any talks with the club? Like, did you have any conversations with Maria Graniskaya or anything?
Yeah, so I had the conversation with the technical director, which is Peter Cech. So obviously there's a situation at Chelsea where you've got the loan players and you've got the first team squad.
They train separately, right?
Yeah, during the preseason we were mostly all together. So because the lads who were in the Euro 2020s were coming back late. Yeah. So there was a merge of a lot of players. And my one was a bit of a weird one because I wasn't really a loan player, because I hadn't played for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then obviously I was in that fold where I was in the first team preseason squad. But I couldn't have a direct link in terms of a decision of me staying with the manager straight away because I hadn't been in the team. So obviously he had to speak with the technical director and all the people above. And the main thing was my contract. So that had nothing to do with the manager. So that went into the hands of the technical director, who's Peter Cech, obviously. And when I came back, when I came back from COVID, trained for a week or so, and they had a game against Villarreal. And then after that, there was the Premier League season was starting. So what happened was, came back from COVID, trained for a week. The first game of the season for them was that Super Cup game against Villarreal, which they won. And then after that, the week after, literally the Premier League was starting against Crystal Palace, I think it was. And then the following day of that game against Crystal Palace, there was like, for the guys who returned late from the Euros, there was like a friendly game against, forget the name of the team now, Weymouth, I think it was.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Which they ended up winning 9-0. So that game, basically, I was expected to play with the guys who were returning late. So some of the lads who didn't play, the Chilwells and all those guys who were playing the following day, I think Thiago Silva as well, they were in that squad. So they played against Weymouth and I was expected to play. And then before the game, I came into the training ground and I was told I couldn't play the game. So that's when I thought, okay, the contract maybe has something to do with it. So I straight away thought, you know, because then I was a bit upset because I was feeling this is the only time I can literally show what I can do still and play for the first time. And I sort of like thought maybe the contract has something to do with it. So I spoke with Peter Cech and he basically explained to me that, yeah, the contract, it is what it is. There's 1 year left. You've got 1 year left. And obviously, you know the situation, the club won't let you go somewhere on loan if you don't sign a contract. And while I spoke with him on the phone.
So what sort of length was this contract? Would it be a long-term contract?
Yeah, so it was a bit confusing because there was nothing wrong with it. I mean, from a club's perspective, where he was coming from was that I hadn't played for a couple of years and he was thinking maybe go somewhere for a year, play, get your fitness up, build your fitness up, and then you can come back. And I was saying, I had no idea about the contract. Literally, the game I was in playing against Weymouth, that's the time, literally within that week, is the first time I heard about what they were proposing and what they wanted me to do. So I had no idea, and I just said in that week, leading up to that Weymouth game in the friendly, leading up to the Crystal Palace game, I just said, okay, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. So he was basically just saying, you haven't played for a couple of years. What we think, you've got a year left now, so now you're fit. What we're proposing is that you go and play on loan, and at the contract that you have now, you split it into two. So for this year, what you're on this year, for example, you split it into two over 2 years. So you'll get half this year and half next year, but at least you can go and play.
So it was like an incentive-based contract.
Yeah, so basically the contract that I was going to be on now, instead of extending for one more year and basically having the same contract now for 1 year and then the following year not the same contract, they were basically saying take a cut of 50%.
So for example,
if you're, I don't know, on £100, let's say. if you're on £100 this year, so if I'm on £100 this year, the whole year, what they said is you take 50 this year and you take 50 next year. And then at least you can go and play on loan. And I said in that week, when I first heard about it, I wasn't saying anything bad or anything like that. I was just literally in the meeting. It was Peter Cech and Kuducini, who take care of the loan guys and stuff. So they told me about the contract. And I said, I think we are training literally the same day we are training. Just before training, came in the same room. They talked to me about it. I had no idea about that we were going to speak about a contract. So I just listened to what they were saying. And I said, okay, I'm going to think about it. I'll speak to my dad about it, because obviously he takes care of all this stuff. So I said, I'm gonna go for training. And then obviously I think that was on a Wednesday, and the game was on a Sunday. So I'm training on a Wednesday. We trained with the first team. The guys who played against Villarreal, they had their separate recovery training. And then the other guys who came on in extra time and stuff, we all trained together. And then the Thursday passed, Friday passed, Saturday I'm getting ready. I'm thinking, yeah, my first game is coming against Weymouth. I'm getting ready after 2 years. I haven't played for a while with Chelsea. Even if it's a friendly game, you know, to me, it meant a lot, you know.
Yeah, put on the shirt again.
Yeah. So it was on the training ground. And then I came in. And then as I'm coming in, there's a team that's going with the first team. And literally three or four players who are on the side. So when I came in, I thought I'm going to play. I spoke with the manager. He wanted to see me play as well. The numerous times I spoke to him. Even when I had COVID, I told him literally when we're in Ireland, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good to play and whatever. So we had a good chat, really. So going into that friendly game against Weymouth, when I then found out I couldn't play, that's when I thought, okay, maybe the contract has got to do with it. Mm-hmm. So when I found that out on a Sunday, maybe the following day, I then had a chat with Peter Cech. And my initial talk was simple. It was simply saying, listen, I appreciate the contract. I see where the club's coming from. My initial thinking would be to stay here, be with the team, build some fitness, build momentum, and then see what I can do. Obviously, it's a COVID year. There's a lot of games. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure we've added international games as well, the Nations League, stuff like that, World Cup qualifiers. Yeah. There's a lot of games this season, so the squad depth's going to have to be big. I'm not asking to be a player who's going to play every single game, because obviously I haven't been there for a while. But I can be a squad player or a role player. Yeah. I can train, give my best in training. And if there's 30 guys on the squad, or there's 23 or 22, I'll be the last guy on the squad. Mm. And then build from there. And then if I'm good enough, then we can see. And that's all I said. That's all I said. So even, even contract talks, I said, okay, I'm not really going to talk about contract talks. And then if at the end of the day, the club thinks I'm not good enough, then that's going to be, it's going to be the end. But in terms of the contract, like, I don't really care, as long as I can show what I can do here, because I came here at Chelsea to try and play here. So that was the talk initially. So he obviously was part of the direction, so he had his own idea about it. And then I said, okay, I'm going to speak with the manager, and if the manager says that I'm not good enough to play here, I will go. I'll look at opportunities to go on loan. Maybe I'll go or leave the club, or even put in my head that maybe I can go on loan and come back. I spoke with the manager, and I obviously knew what he thought of me in training, and he was happy that I was back. And I explained to him the same thing. I said I would play here for free. Literally, the contract that I have now, it's not the question of a contract. So I'm disappointed I didn't play against Weymouth in a friendly. And it's not to do with a contract for me. I will literally play for free this year. And then next year, if I'm doing well this year, we can always talk about, you know, I can basically extend this year and play for free and be a part of the squad, be the last guy on the squad, train hard, basically build my way through training. Play the 23s, get some fitness, and then from there, see, it's a long season. There's a lot of games. There's cup games, the Carabao Cup. That's where I made my debut.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not even asking to start those games. I was just saying, you know, if I can come on and maybe play 15, 20 minutes here and there, and then see and build my way up. And then from there, if I'm not good enough, I'll be the first one to say, listen, I did everything I could to come back. And yeah, it wasn't meant to be. But there's world-class players, so I'm pretty sure that within 1 or 2, 3 months, I'll be up to speed. And he understood, so we had a good chat, and he said, listen, it's not up to me. Like, the contract talks is something else. Every time I've spoken with the club about you, we've obviously beat a check. The main thing was the contract. I could feel there's something there in terms of your name, that they want the contract situation to be resolved. And I explained the same thing to him, that I could pay for free, this and that. And he said, yeah, I understand. I totally get what you're saying. So yeah, that was the resolve. I spoke with Peter Cech. I explained the same thing, that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be here, and I'm 25.
But yeah, so, still young.
So I said, yeah, 25, I don't think I'm going to be going on loan again to then come back or extend my contract, even if it's 50%. It's not about the money, but it's about, you know, if I did the same thing and went to play somewhere else, the following year I would be in the same situation again with 1 year left. So it would be again a situation where I'm moving around. So I said, it's either I'm good enough to play for Chelsea or I'm not good enough to play for Chelsea. And I know injuries have been a part of it, and that's part of life. And of course, saying now that obviously I was fit, I was part of the preseason squad, you all start from zero, and then from there you can try and take your chance, you can try and show what you can do, and you can build up. Like I said, I wasn't looking to play every single, I didn't say I want to be the highest guy playing 90 minutes like the guys who won the Champions League. But I still know that obviously I could bring something in terms of even a bit of freshness coming off the bench in some games, even cup games. You know, the season, like I said, is long. There's a lot of injuries, as you can see now. So, yeah, that was basically my thinking behind it. So when I spoke with him.
Like, obviously, like, look, you've been at Chelsea a very long time. And for me, like, this summer, a lot of the young players have decided to leave the club. We saw Livermento join Southampton. We saw Mark Gerhey, who I rate very highly, go to Crystal Palace. We saw Daniil Simiu, another young player, go to Southampton. So do you almost think that maybe looking back, you may have stayed at the club too long?
I mean, there's always that thing of looking back.
Hindsight.
You know, it's a difficult one, because when you're in the moment, you do everything you can to win, right? Mm. To be in a situation where you can play for Chelsea. It's the only thing you want to do, really. I never really looked at other situations. Even when I went on loan to Spain the first time, I was in a great position in terms of going to other clubs, clubs wanting me and speaking with Chelsea. And I always said, I will only leave here when I'm not good enough to play here, or somebody says, you've got to go. That was always my thinking about the situation at Chelsea. Now, whether I was naive or wanted it too much, that's up for debate, you know, and you never know. But, you know, in terms of who I was as a player, who I think I still am, but even more back then, playing regularly and not being injured, the first thing that came to my mind, like all the young players, I think it would be, it is to play for Chelsea. I came here at 15 years old, like I said. There were times at 19 when obviously you hear, okay, you can go to another club, you can go to another Premier League club, or even abroad when I went to Spain, a few top teams in Spain there as well. But I never thought back and said, oh, I wish I would have left, or I wish I would have. For me, I always wanted to play at Chelsea. It's something I've repeated all the time. I would never hide and say, you know, I want to go somewhere else. I didn't have my chance. For me, I gave everything I could to play for Chelsea. And I think that was always my mindset, even to the last, you know, last days. I think it could have been easy for me to say, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go on loan. I never had the feeling of leaving, partly because I thought I was good enough to play for them too. So that was basically my thinking behind it. Now, looking back, it's not something I'm going to do, because, like I said, in the moment, I always think that you do what you think is best for you in terms of what your dream is. I think if you have to be realistic, I think when I came back from Spain, my loan was good. I think our 6 months that were great, the second 6 months were not so great. I didn't play so much, but in terms of where my level was at and what I think I did in terms of playing, just purely playing, I thought I could work my way up in playing for Chelsea, which was not playing every game, because you're not going to go from being in La Liga the way I was at 19 and then expect to go straight and compete with Eden Hazard, Willian, Pedro, you know, straight away 90 minutes. But what you could do is bring a bit of freshness off the bench, play 15 minutes. If there's a couple games, you can play that. And that was basically my thinking behind it. Now, at the time, it wasn't as easy. It's never easy, don't get me wrong, to play for the first team of Chelsea. It's one of the big clubs in the world. But back then, it was even more complicated for young players to get in. Yeah. So partly, I would say,
came over from Belgium, What was the promise to you? Because obviously I know at the time Real Madrid, Barcelona, all the big boys were interested in you.
Yeah.
Why did you pick Chelsea?
I think it was a mixture of a lot of things. Chelsea was a club that wanted me a lot, and they wanted my family to come as well, which for me was a big, big thing. I'm not going to lie and say that obviously other clubs wanted me, and there were big clubs too.
Yeah.
But partly I think Chelsea was a club that wanted my family to come with me. They invested a lot in me in terms of bringing my family over, and I appreciated that. That was one of the clubs. It was them and Manchester City that really wanted my family to come over. Arsenal, Manchester United, Barcelona, Real Madrid. it was mainly me going somewhere and maybe staying in digs or staying with like families or, you know, La Masia, where it's just players all together. And I think for my family, from that standpoint, it was better for me to go and have my family there in terms of integrating, which is something I also agreed to. So, like I said, Chelsea was also a big club. They just won the Champions League when I came. So, for me, it was more so about having my family and being somewhere I could develop, become better football player, and develop into, because there's a gap between Belgium and, you know, the big clubs in the world. Obviously, if you're playing in Belgium, it's very difficult to play in Belgium, the league, and then go straight away to a top club in England or a top club in Spain and play. When I mean top club, I mean the Champions League winning teams like Chelsea, Man United, Man City, those teams back then who are, Man United was a big team as well back then, winning the Champions League. Still are now, but I mean. I see the top team now, but I mean, back then they had Ronaldo, Rooney, Tevez. And at the time when I was going to, I had to leave, talking about those teams, it's a step from Belgium to go to a Man United, to a Chelsea, to a Liverpool, to a, you don't go straight away and play. So you have to build up and progress. And then from there, try and bridge the gap by getting small minutes and, you know, getting more experience. You don't go straight away from Belgium to boom, you're playing in those teams. It rarely happens, I think.
Because I was reading like an article where one of the coaches at Anderlecht said they were keen for you and your family to stay at Anderlecht for maybe a year or two, just so you can play first team football. They said at 17, Charlie Musonda, he's good to go. He can play first team football. And they were quite, they basically said, they kind of use your example sometimes to preach to the young players now, saying, "Ah, listen, look at Charlie Musonda. He had the world at his feet. You've still got the world at your feet because you're only 25. But they say sometimes buy your time.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the situation. I mean, it depends on where you are, your progression and how you're feeling in your development. Every case is different. I think that you can be used as an example. I think it's fair. I think it's not something I'm going to go back and say, oh, why are they saying it? Because people in smaller clubs, and I'm not saying it's a small club because I was there myself. It's the biggest club in Belgium. I've won the most leagues there, and I was very fortunate to start straight away there. My dad used to play there. So I came through straight away at Anderlecht, and I played there, I think, for a good 10 years. I started there at 5 years old. I left at 15 as well. So it's also a big part of where I am right now. But I think every case is different. It depends on your development. It's a funny question because I had a guy, player who's gone to Man City, who's young as well. He came from Anderlecht. He went last year, and he was calling me and saying, "Oh, listen, what should I do? And, you know, should I leave? Should I stay? They're proposing me. I've spoken with the manager, and they're proposing me to be the first team and to be in the round, but I don't know." And this, so listen, you know, if you're feeling that your development is at a stage where you're thinking this is not, I'm not getting as much as I could out of this, then maybe you should think about going. If you think that you're getting enough, you're being challenged. Even if it's the first team of Anderlecht, you're going to be challenged, you're going to be, then you should stay. It just depends on how you're feeling, where you are. You know, you can't take every single case and say, listen, that's the example. Because for every example, there's somebody who's going to do something else and it's going to work. So do you get what I mean?
Of course.
For me, what I always say is, if you're feeling, and that's where I was at Anderlecht when I was 15. I wasn't strong enough physically. I wasn't big enough to be able to go straight away in the first team of Anderlecht and play, which was a big team back then. They were in the Champions League. When I left, Anderlecht was a Champions League team. And so for me, it was literally as a kid, how can I develop with world-class players in world-class facilities? Because obviously Anderlecht is, compared to Chelsea, the facilities are different. There's a lot of money into football in England in terms of development. When you look at the facilities at Chelsea, where you've got everything at your disposal, the managers, literally you play a game with the youth team, you can watch it on your laptop, you can see the games, you've got data. Those things have changed. I think it's 10 years ago now. But those things back then weren't the same in Belgium. And anybody who was in Belgium would tell you the same. So in terms of that side of the game purely, that's why I said to myself, okay, maybe I have to look to move somewhere else. And there were a few options who were all top teams. And I thought, okay, at least if I go to a top team, I can develop in terms of being in a world-class facility, with everything at my disposal, with players who will challenge me, with coaches who will get on top of me. And sometimes when you stay in your own club, you sort of feel like you can do whatever you want.
Comfort zone. You want to take care of your
So when I was in Anderlecht, it's not like I could do whatever I want, but I was in a space where I thought, like,
this is my place.
It was because I was there for 10 years. Like, I was very comfortable at Anderlecht. It was a fantastic place, fantastic time. I enjoyed it a lot. But I also thought, okay, if I want to bridge that gap to get to the top teams, what do I do? And so it's either you stay at Anderlecht, try and get games in the first team, But then again, you have to go to somewhere else in between. That's what I always think. You have to go maybe to a Germany, or you have to go maybe to a France. And then from there, you can go to Chelsea. And I thought that maybe if you get used to the English game young and you come through the system, it might be an easier gap to the first team as well. So if you look at somebody like in Barcelona, that's why that's so great with the young players, is that those young players all come from the same system. They learn the same type of football. When you go in the first team with world-class players who are the best in the world, they're already used to that system and they've been playing with world-class players. So Messi was playing with Fabregas. Fabregas was playing with Piqué.
Yeah.
So it's not very difficult in terms of going somewhere and then going to play. Or if you go straight away in the first team of Barcelona, you're like, oh, I'm feeling out of place here. Because even though you're young, you understand the system, you understand the game. And it's the same thing here in the UK. If you come through the academy at Chelsea, which the young players are doing now, they're showing you exactly that. The Masons, the Reeses, you know, they're showing you that. Yeah. Basically, once you're used to that system, you're used to a team, then obviously you can go to the first team. But coming from abroad as a young player, it's very, very difficult because you can't go from abroad straight away into straight away going to Chelsea's first team. It's
Lukaku
very difficult.
Showed that as well.
Sorry?
Lukaku, that was the case with
Lukaku.
Yeah,
I mean, when he came, you know, it was a bit more difficult in terms of, it's not even just the quality, but in terms of how the club works. Back then, more so, it was very hard to give trust to young players. Chelsea's always been a club that, and it's nothing wrong with this because Chelsea has won titles, won leagues, have won trophies. There's teams who prioritize having young players come through, but then don't win as much.
Like Arsenal.
So we can have, say, are we going to bring managers who have a right philosophy and we're going to keep them on for 2, 3, 4, 5 years? And even though it's not working, and you can look at Chelsea and say, yeah, they replace a manager every 2 or 3 years, but they've won titles.
It works.
So when I've been there as a young player and with Conte and I wasn't playing much, and then another manager comes and young players are not playing very much, there is a balance of thinking, as a young player, maybe, yes, I could be playing more, but you respect that Chelsea is Chelsea because they're winning titles and they have world-class players playing great football and winning titles. And I always compare Chelsea as with like Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Because I thought that, you know, they'll bring the best talent and then, you know, they're there to win now.
Yeah. Right?
And then that was always the case. And it was more so like that before. Now they're mixing young players.
Yeah, because they had to. I think with Chelsea, they couldn't sign foreign players. And you have to give credit to the Tammys, Mason Mounts, Reached him. They took their chances.
Yeah.
They took it.
Yeah. I think most you have to give credit to Frank Lampard. I think it's some, when I got injured, when I was in Holland, I got injured. I came back. I had my surgery. I was with the first team in the building the whole year. So I sort of like got an idea of how Frank Lampard was. And he was an amazing person as well. You know, he's somebody at Cobham that we idolize as young players.
Yeah.
And just to have him there as a manager, to see him the way he operated with the young players and the whole squad, I think that more so when we're talking about the players now, he deserves a lot of credit because, yes, I know there was a transfer ban, but it takes a lot of, a lot of votes to say, you know, we're going to put the young players in, give him a chance. And then from there, you know, like I said, he's basically shown that young players can play for Chelsea. But you can't say that before it was wrong what they were doing because they were winning.
Yeah.
But I think that now you can compare it and say, yeah, the young players are good enough. And I don't think it's now they're better than they were 10 years ago.
It's just that they've been given opportunity.
They've been given opportunity to play. They've taken their opportunities. And I'm very proud of the players who are playing. But even before me, it was hard for players to play. And when I went into the first team, I could say, yeah, maybe I didn't get enough opportunities to play. I didn't play enough cup games or games where I could show what I could do. But even myself, when I looked at it, I was like, I played a lot of games compared to other people before me as well. So it's a difficult thing to say. But I would say that right now, when you look at the Champions League winning run and the way they played, I would say testament to Frank Lampard for giving young players a chance. Because without him, a lot of these young players, and it's not even just the players playing for Chelsea. I think your Tariq Lamptey's, your Fikayo Tomori is just playing in AC Milan. I think he's done a lot for the club because now he's done something different. So
on social media, I see like a lot of Chelsea fans saying, oh, why is Frank Lampard getting the praise when Tuchel's the one that's winning? Like, Frank Lampard's getting the praise for bringing all these young players through. But like, you were inside the camp. What were the sort of things that Frank Lampard actually did to keep everyone happy?
Well, I wasn't training. I was injured. But from my, I'm just talking purely from me being a youngster at Cobham and seeing all the youngsters come through. And in terms of me being in that same situation where before it was the pathway to the first team when I was there, was a bit more tricky, was a bit more difficult to get minutes. So even like FA Cup games, was like, okay, should the young player play? Should he not play? You know, I never, I don't think I started a game in the FA Cup or the Carling Cup or the Carabao Cup, they call it now.
Yeah, yeah.
I started against Nottingham. That's the only start I really had. But Frank Lampard put the young players in those games. He put them in the Champions League. He put them in the Premier League. You know, Reece, Tariq came on against Arsenal in the Premier League. They ended up winning 2-1. You know, so all of all of those things, you know, just that from the academy standpoint was fantastic for people like myself, like I've been saying now, that once you are in that sort of environment, you're winning youth cups, you're winning the youth league and whatever they've all won. Once you go into that first team, you can bridge the confidence because you know what it means to play for Chelsea. Mm. And you bridge it with world-class talent together, they can create something special because they are very good players. So it's not like if the level is that much higher. Once you bridge those two together, players who've been winning the Youth Cup and all of that, they've been playing against each other from the off. Like Rashford's been playing against Fikayo Tomori. Mm. So if Rashford's been doing well for Man United, Fikayo went on to win the Youth Cup. So why wouldn't he be able to play against Man United? And I think Frank Lampard brought that in. And so for the young players, even Maguire that we're talking about, started against Man United in the Carabao Cup and did really well. So I mean,
now we see him at Crystal Palace.
Yeah, so that's what I think Lampard's done really well. Even with Billy Gilmour, who played against Liverpool, that before didn't exist. And we can talk about the transfer ban all we want.
You have to give credit to like Jody Morris, Joe Edwards, all these guys that are helping the youth as well.
Yep, that's something I'll always say. I think that Chelsea goes under the radar because I think it's been two contrasts in terms of how they've worked at youth level and the first team level for quite a few years. Been here for 10 years, and I think the last 2 or 3 years since the transfer ban really is when there's been a little bit more recognition for the young players and the academy. But it's always been, since I've been there, really, it's been, I would say, one of the best academies in the world.
Yeah, and I'm not lying. The Youth Cup, four years in a row.
The talent that's come through.
Yeah, so winning the Youth Cup, winning the UEFA Youth League. So those are all things that, you know, I credit to the academy setup and how they've worked with young players. And then obviously now it's coming through because those young players are playing in the first team. So I would always say that the coaching at Chelsea is second to none. I mean, you know, they're great coaches. Even myself, I learned so much. Being in a position at 18, 19 to then go and play in Spain in one of the biggest leagues, to be confident to go and play and perform is due to how when I came to Chelsea, like I said, I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't in a situation where I could do what I wanted to do. You know, I was told and shouted at, and you know, there was a coach called AD Vaivash who was also then under 18's coach, was my 21's coach as well. He was always shouting at players, telling them what to do, and he basically had a huge impact on what I did as well. So the academy setup has been great at Chelsea, and I'm very happy that now you can see that it can be done. That's something I'll always say.
I just wanted to ask you in terms of like mentally, how difficult has it been for you, because you've been out for what, 2 years, you were injured, 2 to 3 years. And like, you see fans on social media saying, oh, it doesn't matter, he gets paid X amount of money, just get on with it, I would love to be in your position, all of that nonsense that you see online. Like, how difficult was it mentally, and how important have the senior players been for you? Like, players like, for example, Jorginho, Big Rom, who's promised to come on this platform, so make sure you show him this interview.
Yeah. Well, I think it's different because when you're injured, you're sort of like alone.
Yeah.
When I've been injured, I was mainly alone for the last 2-3 years. So I wasn't mainly with the first team squad, coming at different times. Even last year for COVID, it was very difficult because I was just alone. And so mentally, it's a challenging one because it's like, you're there playing and you know what it's like to be fit, and then boom, that gets taken away from you. And even before my injury, it wasn't as if I was playing every single week. You know, for players who are playing every single week at a Chelsea or at a top club, and then they get injured and it's like a year injury, like Leroy Sané had, and then he comes back and then he's playing. You know, it's not that bad because you were playing before you got injured.
Van Dijk, we saw
exactly,
like Van Dijk,
So they're in a rhythm, they're playing. They have that stature in the game, you know, in terms of like knowing what they're doing. In terms of a young player who hasn't played much, who's at Chelsea, who's like, you know, I haven't played many games, and then you get injured. I went on loan to Holland, and literally a first friendly game, I got injured. And then from there, to spend 2 years without playing, it's sort of like, mentally, it's like, the more it goes on, for like, after a year, you're like, after a year, I'm going to be back. And then you're like, another year passes, and that second year is the toughest one, because after a year passes, you're like, okay, I'm going to be back playing. And then after that, you hear that you have to have surgery. It's like everything I've done the year before, I'm going to have to do it again.
Okay.
And it's alone. It's literally with a physio. It's yourself. You have to drive yourself. It's your motivation. It's how much you want to drive it to come back.
Mm.
It's a very difficult place to be in, being injured for a long time. I think being injured for 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes that's you good. or even 6 months, really, I'm not going to lie, in terms of like, because the career is long, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have your Ronaldos and Messi's who are playing every single game for 15 years, but that's not the norm. Players get injured, Neymar's injured now, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're injured like for 3 or 4 months, sometimes that can give you a bit of a refresh feeling to it. You come back a bit refreshed, you've worked on a few things physically, you watch games, you're a bit more motivated, and then you come back and you play. But when you're injured for 2 years, it's a fine line between you don't really know what it's like to play again. And at the same time, you're seeing everybody play, but you're alone. You're training alone with a physio. You have to run hard, train in the gym, do all these things, just you, mentally, just you. So that was a very difficult thing mentally, because it's just you, literally. It's not like, and that's what you miss the most about football. What you enjoy the most about football, which I've said for now, it's been 2 or 3 years, the hardest bit has been not being able to train with the world-class players every single day. And that's been very, very challenging. Even like now, I'm training, obviously, I'm going to leave the club at the end of the year. But it's like you miss that feeling of being challenged by the best, you know? And that's one of the reasons I came to Chelsea. So that's the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. And then the hardest thing that I would say on top of that is that you're just by yourself. You have to drive it literally by yourself. You have surgery, obviously your family's there, but nobody comes and does rehab with you. You've got to do rehab yourself. You have the physio by yourself. And last year, funny enough, you said about the fun thing, saying that Chelsea, oh, they're paying you the money and whatever. Mm-hmm. Last year, I was in a situation where I was at the club for COVID, and we didn't have... So the first team had their own bubble. So you couldn't go in the first team bubble if you're not playing, which is understandable for COVID. So I had to go in the academy building. The problem was in the academy building, also through COVID, you couldn't use the facilities for... There was restrictions. You couldn't use the gym for more than 20, 15 minutes. You couldn't have a physio for 15 minutes. If you needed rub or if you needed ice or whatever, you had to be in there for 15 minutes. And I had possibly a career-ending injury. And I was trying to rehab and trying to come back from that. And people telling me, okay, when I had my surgery the year before, they were saying, yeah, you're going to only have max 20% chance of playing proper football again at the top level. Any other level, fine. If you want to run, but if you want to play top level again, if you think you're going to play for Chelsea again one day, that's going to be very difficult. And so a year after that, COVID happened, and you couldn't do all of these things in the gym and this and that for COVID. And the first team, they had their own separate bubble with their own restrictions. So I was by myself with my physio, who was fantastic. And we had to basically go challenge around the clock and say, okay, we can't use the gym, we can do this. And I ended up getting myself a membership to a gym around the corner.
Public gym.
Going there, coming in the morning, doing a bit of work, going in the evening to David Lloyd's for like a month, and doing that. That was at the start of the season. And then I said to myself, listen, there's not much I can do here. I need to be doing more than this, because otherwise I'm not going to come back. It's not one of those injuries where it's straightforward, like an ACL, where, you know, it's something that I knew that if I don't do the maximum, I won't be able to play again.
Yeah.
So you have to do everything you can. And so even like a David Lloyd, I did that for a while. After that, it still wasn't good enough. I still didn't have enough time for the physio, because, again, you can have a schedule where you're working in the morning, you're doing your treatment, and you're saying, okay, this is not enough. But then the physio you're asking, he maybe has a family, he maybe has things to do. And then it's very hard to coordinate times and whatever. So what I ended up doing is I went to Dubai.
Yeah.
I went to Dubai to do my rehab. It was great. I was there for 2 months. What a place to do rehab, by the way. great sun, you know, sun every single day. And it was basically, I wanted to go somewhere where every single day I would have the attention to do my knee properly. So from training twice a day, physios, eating.
So was
eating.
This privately paid for, or did the club?
Yeah, exactly. So I paid for that myself, every single thing. So I was initially going to go to Belgium. There was a doctor who I know personally. He goes way back. He rehabbed my dad when my dad was injured for a little bit. He's quite intense. And he basically, got his number. Eden Hazard said to me, what's going on? Are you injured, this and that? So he messaged me and he said, okay, if you're still injured, go with this guy. And I knew the guy. So Aiden gives me his number. So after I've spoken with the guy says, yeah, no problem. You can come to Belgium. We'll take care of you. And the thing is, Belgium was one of the countries, the restrictions were not as much as the UK. Mm-hmm. So I could still go to a public gym, work out for a long time, all of that stuff. As I'm speaking with the guy, I'm like, okay, here at Chelsea, I can't do enough still. I spoke with the guy, and the guy says to me, yeah, but now I'm in Spain, I'm with Aiden. Because Aiden just got injured as well.
Okay,
Ramadi.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, if I go to Belgium, I won't have one-to-one with this doctor, it will be somebody else. So I knew a guy in Dubai who also knew a physio, so I ended up going there. And everything I went, so I said to the club, listen, at the moment, I'm not doing enough here, so I need to go somewhere where every single day I can be on it, like the whole day. And so they understood. So at the beginning, the club doctor, it's there's a lot of politics in football.
Yeah, of course. You know, yeah. We know.
Didn't want me to go abroad. I was saying, yeah, it's better you stay at Chelsea and whatever. But when I was there, I was saying, you're not doing enough. It was splitting talks. I was saying, yeah, I clearly can't do enough. And then I trained with my first session. It was in a year and a half with the under-16s at Chelsea. And then I had my knee was swollen again. And when I mean swollen, it was swollen. I said, okay, I need to go somewhere where I can be on every single day. So I spoke with Chelsea and they were like, okay, if you want to go, you've got to go to a place, you got to go to a place in Serbia. And I said, why Serbia? They said, oh, a player went there before and he's well now. And I said, okay, but what's the schedule? What's the schedule there? What do you do? What's it like? And they basically said they train you hard there. Well, it's one guy who went there. So it's the guy who went there before me. His name is Baba.
Baba Rahman.
And it worked out well for him. But he went there through his agent. So when he was in the same similar situation the year before, I think, he said, I'm not doing enough here. I want to go somewhere. It's also good to clear your head as well. So he went there. And then he was a bit better. He's still a bit in pain, but he was a bit better. So then Chelsea was saying, proposing me to go there. And I was saying, so I asked Baba, what goes on there when you're there? And he said, okay, you go there and you've got a PT who gives you a schedule and you do it by yourself and you go and you run. I was like, that's not good for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to do that. So literally I came back to Chelsea, to the doctor. It's just between me and the doctor and he speaks straight away to Marina. And he said, okay. I said, I don't think I want to go to Serbia. I'll rather go back to Belgium. And then the Belgium thing happened with Eden. He was injured. The guy obviously went to Eden to go and go there. So then I said, I'm going to go to Dubai. So Dubai guy, I knew him. There was a physio there that obviously worked in Celtic and worked with a guy that I knew. Said he's top, he will take care of your knee. So I ended up going there. When I went there, Chelsea said, okay, if you're going there by yourself, we're not going to sort out anything. And I said, okay, it's not a problem. I'll pay for everything I need to do. At the end of the day, I have to make a decision whether I stay here and I just go along here, training here 1 hour, doing physio 15 minutes of treatment, doing the gym, that's not enough, and then going to David Lloyd's in the evening and basically taking care of myself that way, or just saying, do you know what, I'm going to do everything I can, even if it's costing me a lot of money, to try and get back and play. Because this injury, like I said, is something, if it was something that was straightforward and I knew how to rehab and do all of this stuff, then I would probably just stay. But because I knew it was something that wasn't straightforward, that doctor said to me, you know, you have to do everything you can to get back, otherwise it's going to pop again, I said, okay, I have to do it. So I ended up going to Dubai. I stayed there for 2 months and I paid for everything. And it was
flight, accommodation,
everything. And it was, you can say, oh yeah, but you have a lot of money. It was a lot of money. And in terms of rehab, it's things that you don't know, because when you're rehabbing at Chelsea, if you have to use a machine or whatever, you don't really know the price. You just do it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there was things like tests and all of these things and physios and personal trainers in the gym and all that. I paid for everything because I always said, even if I'm paying for it, at least I'll be fit for pre-season. That was the main thing I wanted to do. Honestly, that's the main thing I wanted to do. So yeah, obviously I stayed for my contract at Chelsea, but even my treatment, I paid for everything and it was a lot of money. Like really
a lot
of money.
So are we talking six figures?
No, not six figures, but a lot of money still, okay, in terms of like rehab and coming back to do everything you can, doing it by yourself. It's a lot of money. Like there's things like something called an isokinetics test. So you put your leg in,
oh, and like it sort the boot, of measures. The long boot.
No, you saw like it's like a, you know, like the leg extension when you're doing like your quads.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's similar to that, but it holds your leg and like calculates the weight that you're pushing through for your knee.
Okay.
So even stuff like that, you do it at Chelsea, and it's like you have no idea of the cost because you don't really care. You come in, you do it, and you have the test, right?
But when you see,
exactly when you're paying for it yourself, you're like, oh, this is actually very expensive. And all of these little things are things that I did. And I stayed there for 2 months and I was feeling better, feeling really strong. Then I came back. Came back last year in December. And then from there, I trained with the 23s through the end of the season. And then I ran into Thomas Tuchel in the car park, funny enough.
Oh.
Before that Champions League before the Champions League semi-final, the return against Real Madrid, I think it was. Okay. And he just said, you know what? I met him for the first time. And he said, you know what? Obviously, he knew me from before because he was in Dortmund.
Mm. Yeah, were they interested in you then?
Might have. I was playing in Spain. Might have. But I spoke to him quickly and he was like, okay, what's going on? I said to him, listen, I'm going to be ready for preseason. I'm just going to be ready for preseason. That's all I was really worried about. Yeah, and at that time, I was literally, when I was back training with the physio at Chelsea in the evenings by myself. And that's how I ran into him into the car park. So yeah, I said, I'm going to be ready for preseason because that's what I wanted to do, really. So it all links back to this year where I was getting ready for the preseason and all of that. So that's where it's at, really. So yeah, in terms of leaving now, it's sort of like a, it's sort of like a shame feeling, because you have, you know, you sort of like been pushed out, if that makes sense. By the club. I mean, not the manager. I mean, the manager, no problems whatsoever. We always had a good dialogue, always talked really well. But for staff, other than that, that's the reason literally why I'm leaving. I mean, I asked many times, I even asked Peter Cech, or who was the basically the guy controlling the situation. I said to him, if the reason is I'm not good enough, I'll go tomorrow. Mm. It's not a problem. If I still can't play, if I'm not at the level, if because of my injury I haven't come back and played the same, or that's purely based on training. If I can't do what I'm supposed to do in training, if I don't have the level, you can tell me and I'll go. And that was never the conversation. And that was never part of the talks. So it's just a bit of a weird feeling, but
mixed again, feelings. Because what I was going to say is that, obviously you're saying you've been frozen out, and when I look at it, it's been like a 10-year commitment from your family as well. So how do they feel about like the situation?
Who, my family?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, it's football, you know? Mm. It's not like I'm going to ask them every single day. I mean, it's football. You have to look at it. There's things that you could have maybe done better. But that's, again, it's looking back. When things are going great, nobody says, I'm going to look back and see what could have gone better. You know, you look at, I don't know if you guys watched the Formula One.
Hamilton and Verstappen
last lap, you know, and then you can go, okay, if Hamilton then went into the pit to change his tyres, would it have changed? But then maybe they would have said the virtual safety car stays on, and then Hamilton would have been second.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look back and say, yeah, he didn't go in, but maybe if he went in, they keep the same rules, and then he maybe ends up second, and they end up with the virtual safety car, and he goes, why did I go in? So, or maybe he just stays like he did try to do yesterday, and they say, okay, we're going to keep the 10-second gap, and then he stays, and then there's one more lap to go, and it would have been very difficult for him to get back and beat Hamilton. But what happened is something that we've never seen before happened, and you end up losing, and Verstappen wins it. So you can't then look back and say, yeah, if I'd done this, if the team had put me in for the pits, if this had, you know what I mean? Because it's everybody's trying to do what they need to win and to be in a good situation. So Verstappen was doing what he could do to win. He was gambling with the tires. It paid off. He was at the front. Boom, he overtook him. So that's how it is. So even in terms of my family, like now, you can't really say,
because they've invested in you. They came from Belgium with you for you to pursue the dream, kind of thing, is what I'm saying. And for it to just end like this is...
Yeah, of course. No. I mean, that's why I say it's a weird feeling, because I never thought I was going to be pushed out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought that once, especially the way I worked hard to get through the preseason. I spoke with Peter Cech last year, really. Said to him, mentally it's been difficult because I'm trying to get back and training by myself. And from the preseason, there was no real checkup on how are you doing mentally, how are you doing. You know, there was no real checkup.
Why is that though? Like, because we've interviewed Yannick Bolasie, and he was pretty much saying the same thing at Everton. They've taken a decision to freeze him out, and that's pretty much it. There's no one's checking up on you. You're going into training.
I don't
by
really
yourself.
Think it's everybody who freezes you out, though. I think it's from a business decision where the contract is what it is.
Can't the manager, like, for example, Thomas Tuchel, who's for me one of the best managers in the world, I'm sure you will agree. Can't he say that I like Charlie though?
Yeah, but I think, you know, you have to sort of like pick your battles. You know, if you have like a squad of 23 players, and if I'm a manager in a top club working with a technical director, there's some battles that you can pick, some battles that you just say, okay, you know what? We've just won the Champions League here. You know, I'm not going to try and, not being funny, but I'm not going to try and fight for a player who you know, who's going to change my squad because I've just won the Champions League.
Obviously, he was fighting for Lukaku. He was saying, "Listen, I'm trying."
Exactly. So I'm saying, if you there's clear and obvious things that you can say, okay, I'm going to fight for this because it makes sense. And it's the same thing I explained to me. He said, "Listen, the only track record I have from you is in Spain. That was a long time ago. Like that's the only track record I have from you. And I know, obviously, even from watching you in training and stuff, that we know what the potential is. We can see it." But I'm saying, even in the preseason, the problem is that you had COVID, and it's unfortunate. You had COVID and you couldn't play the friendly games, and that would have been a good opportunity for me to say to the club, listen, you know, even if there's a contract situation, I will get it. It's okay, no problem. Mm. And that's why maybe some of the lads who have played, who have gone on to play this year, have had their luck, is because they've had that building preseason where they've been able to play and then go into the squad, like Trevor and all these players. Because then you can have that sort of like track record. But something like me, Trevor was playing last year in France, played against the manager, and then in PSG before he left and came to Chelsea. And then like this year, he had a good preseason and then went with the first team. Whereas I hadn't played for 2 years, was injured. And then from there, the preseason, the first few games I have to play, I've got COVID.
And then,
before coming back, the season starting.
Yeah.
So he can come and tell and say, okay, even though there's contract situations with this guy, I'm going to put him on, because realistically he has a squad of 23 players who have been playing consistently and who he knows, okay, these players are going to play, and even though he might like you, which is something that I spoke to him, we were very honest, there's nothing wrong about him as a man, I have no problem whatsoever with him, he was fantastic and honest. I could tell that, okay, it's maybe the question of timing, and he said the same thing, timing wise things could have been a bit better. So in terms of being frozen by the club, I wouldn't say I've been frozen by the club. Like, the academy have been great with me, even like now training with the 23s, they've been great, they've supported me. Obviously I think they know that now I'm leaving, and then obviously it's just the technical director who didn't want me to stay. That was basically that. I think it was more his decision than the manager's decision. I think if he would have said to the manager, Charlie's willing to stay, we're willing to, okay, listen to what he said in terms of like getting more minutes, training, and then from there, based on merit, playing the cup games, being a squad player, there's a lot of games in the season.
Yeah.
If that was the talk there, the manager would have zero problems. But in terms of that, he wouldn't pick his battles by saying, you know, listen, I'm going to fight for Charlie. He wasn't paid for 2 years. Yeah. If I'd played every single week, that would have been different.
Yeah.
Or played in the preseason, that would have been different. But to not play for 2 years, and I understand then, where he's coming from, where even though that's great, he has a squad to pick. And then from there, he also has to consult the technical director. Mm. And all
there's a whole structure in place at Chelsea. It's exactly. Not, it's more than the manager.
So if a player hasn't played, then it's more so a collective decision.
Mm.
For him to override somebody and say, oh, Charlie has to be in the squad, it's better. If I had played, that then would make sense. Then you have more, exactly.
Because I think Chelsea is the type of structure, like, if you compare it to, like, a Liverpool, you can clearly see, like, Jurgen Klopp has a lot of autonomy, whereas at Chelsea, it seems like there's a structure that the manager fits into that kind of thing.
I think that's the way it is in modern football now as well. Yeah. I think a lot of clubs are like that. Long gone are the days where managers have oversee everything. And having power is one thing, but I mean just overseeing everything. Mm. Arsene Wenger, Arsenal, Sir Alex Man United. Yeah. I think that now in football has gone, where now players are coming in who have big statures. Players as well. Football has changed as well. I think that players have a bigger stature. We say it's more of a business, but players have a bigger stature. They bring more in terms of revenue and business and whatever.
We've seen like, you look at like stuff brands like, now.
Exactly.
So you look at
it differently as well. Whereas you bring in some of the big clubs get managers who are purely there to coach the team and get the max out of the team. Not to do with transfers, not to do with anything else. Whereas before you did everything, now managers is basically you come in, there's a crop of players, you manage that squad, try to get the best out of that squad, and that is it. So, you know, that's what I would say in terms of that.
So Charlie, what I wanted to say is that you're like a cult hero amongst Chelsea fans. They love you. Like every time online you see positive messages.
Yeah.
Obviously now that it's sort of like a long goodbye, you're going in the summer.
Yeah.
What sort of message would you want to like tell them?
I mean, it's a difficult one. I have, even the post I did on Instagram, I wasn't going to be too emotional with it because I didn't want to go long into the memories and long into the details of everything. Think it's a difficult one. I spoke with Peter Cech in August on the phone, and after those talks I knew straight away, okay, I'm going to leave in August here. There's nothing else I can do. And then from there I already knew, so I was literally the following days I was crying. After the phone call I was literally crying for a long time because I'd been there for a while. For like a week or so it was very difficult to get around. Even now, to be honest with you, it's going to take some time to get around it. It's still mentally difficult in terms of that, going in, training the 23s every single day, even though you're training again, you know. So if I have to talk about it now for the first time, I would say, yeah, the fans have been great. They've been more than I expected them to be for me. And even when I was injured, there was always somebody I would bump into somewhere. I'm not lying here. I would be going maybe to Westfield, or I'd be going, you know, I would be walking somewhere in London. Somebody would stop me and say, oh, Charlie, don't give up. Keep going. Don't give up. And literally, there were many times I was thinking like, this is very difficult because you're training every single day by yourself. You've got to drive it. You've got to. And some days, really, you don't want to do it. Like, I'm not going to lie. You can love football. Whoa. You can love it so much. And there's some days where you're like, okay, I don't want to do this. And every time that happened, I'm not lying here.
Yeah.
It's a coin. Like, every time that happened, I would go somewhere. And I would bump into somebody. I don't know. Charlie, keep going. Don't give up. Like, we've been watching you and all that. I swear to God. And that's something that basically has really touched me. Knowing that the fans have been there more so even now. They've always been amazing with me. I mean, from the time I came all the way through playing with the youth teams, playing with the first team, my debut and being there. Then when I got injured, all the time they were there and saying, don't give up. And that's partly one of the reasons why I didn't give up. And it's not just that, but there's always been these signs of just keep going. And the fans of Chelsea have been part of that. And even now, they've been saying, oh, we wish you luck. We know everything that's gone on. We wish you a lot of luck. everything that's going to happen with you. And I would say they've been amazing. Like, people always talk about Chelsea fans and say whatever they want to say. Like, they don't make any noise and this and that. But, you know, that's, for me, I'd be lying and saying they're the best. Like, they've been amazing. They've been great fans. And I wish the club also the best. It's not just the fans. I mean, the club, the academy has given me so much. Injuries are part of life. It's part of the game. You can't look back and be sad because it's part of the game. I've been injured for so long. Obviously, I was injured for 2 years. I had surgeries, this and that. But in terms of looking back at the club, there's nothing wrong I could say. And like, my exit is sad now because I know that I had to leave. Like, there was nothing I could do. I spoke with the people at the club that take care of the situation, and it was quite clear that I didn't want to go on loan, and I wanted to show what I could still do at Chelsea. And then if I wasn't good enough, then I would go. And that wasn't playing every single game. That was literally just being part of the squad, training through, being like the young players who are coming through from the 23s, being on that level, and then seeing what I can do. And then like, if there's injuries or anything, you never know in football. That's literally what I wanted to do, to show what I could do, because I do think that I could have done more in terms of having maybe more opportunities. Maybe be doing more when I had the opportunities. You never know. But that's the only thing I would say. I think that, you know, I never really had that chance to really start games, you know, and that's something that then you get injured, you're like, oh, you know, if only this had happened, if only I could start games, if only I could play in an FA Cup game and start, you know, those type of things, which right now are a given, you know, that are something that young players are doing, you know, they're doing constantly. Obviously, it's not a given, you have to work hard, you have to train hard, but you have more of that opportunity since Frank, and since now you have that, we've seen that young players from Cobham can play. So that's what I would say, really. It's just that feeling of, I would have thought I would have left either by not performing well and then you leave. That's mainly what it is. Or you stay because you perform well and you stay. But I never thought it was going to be like this, that you're leaving where you haven't really played. Yeah. We don't really know what could have been, you know. So that's the funny thing about it. And the future, you never know. I mean, you never know.
I think that's a perfect way to move on, because we've spoken about, obviously, the sadness. Let's be optimistic. There's a future.
Yep.
You're only 25 years of age.
Yeah.
In terms of where you're at mentally, what sort of stage do you think you should be performing at? Is there any preference in terms of leagues, Premier League, Spain, France? Like, where's your head at?
It's a good question, that. I really don't know. I mean, where I would say is that I've been processing for the last 2-3 months, maybe leaving Chelsea. You know, it's not something that's easy to do after like 10 years, like I said. And people can go, oh, yeah, but, you know, like, people, normal people say, oh, yeah, but you could have left a long time ago. You could have, you know, you could go. It's not the end of the way you can go. But when you've been somewhere for 10 years in a club like this that I love, I mean, before coming to Chelsea, I didn't love Chelsea as much as I love Chelsea now. That's how much I love Chelsea. Yeah, I mean, it's just a process, really, of thinking, of training, getting fit, staying fit. I'm not even so worried about games. I know it might sound crazy, but I'm not so worried about playing the 23s right now, because I just want to train, stay fit, you know. And then from there, I'll see where things go. There's no preference in terms of leagues or anything like that, because I don't think it's one of those things that you choose. I think that situation sort of like finds you.
Yeah.
So,
whatever. Have clubs been on the phone to your agent asking about your availability?
Like, yeah. So it's mainly my dad that does that. Speaks with clubs and stuff like that. But right now, you can't really speak with clubs, otherwise that's tampering, you know.
Yeah.
until January. So from January, you can start speaking with clubs.
Foreign clubs, right?
Yeah. More concretely, and talk about stuff for the future. And then we will see. I think, like I said, the future nobody knows. I mean, I've worked hard to get back fit. I obviously was trying to get back fit for the preseason. I didn't know up until August that I was going to leave Chelsea. Like, it's something that's very, very recent. It's not as if I was thinking, okay, I'm going to get back fit and I'm going to go on loan. I had no idea. I was literally trying to get back fit, get into the preseason fold, and then see what happens. And I always thought that if I do well, I would still be able to play for Chelsea, because I've never really played. It's not like if I had played a few games and then I hadn't performed well, you know. If I'd played maybe a track record of five full games or, you know, canvas, 70 minutes, like, exactly, yeah, and then you can say, okay, do you know what, Chelsea's not my level. It's one of those ones where I don't really know, because I never really got that chance to play a full 90 minutes in a big game or a full 90, you get what I mean, or even an FA Cup game where you start, or even a Champions League game that's a bit lower. When I was there with like Karabag, I was in our group, I think those were the games that you sort of feel
so
like
the whipping boys of the group, yeah, where you qualify.
I wouldn't say the whipping boys because it's professional football. It's professional football, so you have to be.
Yeah, so I'm talking as a fan.
You have to be when you're playing football. Obviously, there's no easy games, as we know, especially being at Chelsea. It's every game's a difficult game. But there were sort of games where you'd go and look at and say, okay, do you know what, these games. I might be ready to play this. And that's what you feel, really. And those are the steps for any single young player playing in the top team. That's the thinking. That's the mentality. Obviously, you think that you can play the big games. You think you're all there, but you're not. And I knew as well I wasn't. Every time I spoke with the manager or with Conte, I said, listen, all I want to do is have a fair chance to show what I can do in those games, which is where everybody sort of like starts. And when I look at those games, I don't look back and say, yeah, I had the chance to play those games. Mm-hmm. I had the minutes. I had the track record. I don't really go there. And that's what's difficult to sort of look at, even in terms of level. Like, if I knew that I'd played 5-10 games,
I could say,
Chelsea's not my level. You know, I can't really. But that's not the case, you know. So that's a very tricky side of it.
You're just going to have to live with it. Like, you go.
We all know that you are an amazing talent, and we know that you still have that talent. So once you get on the football pitch, we just hope everything works out well for you. I think, look, for me, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast, and thank you for being so open. But before we round up, we just want to ask you questions outside of football.
Yeah.
So in terms of, like, what do you like getting up to?
That's funny. That's a good question. That's a good question. That's
fashion.
More of a
video games.
Not really. I mean, I do play video games, but it's always against my brother. It's not anything big.
Game do you play? FIFA.
Yeah, FIFA. Do you know? I'm a lot into the American sports.
Okay.
Yeah, so I like Madden. American
NFL.
Football.
Yeah.
NFL. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Do you watch much football outside of football?
Do I watch much football outside of football? That's a good question. I know a lot about football in terms of, like, growing up, I always watched every single game and most of the games. And when I got injured, funny enough, I stopped watching most of the games. I would only watch the big games. I think
is that because you just wanted to stay away from the game? Yeah, and mentally, you were disenfranchised with the game?
Or? I think partly because I think it's both. I think mentally you don't want to be watching too much of football if you're not playing it. Mm-hmm. But then you're still interested enough that you want to watch the big games and see what the big games are like. But I would say in terms of, like, watching football, I would say now I watch a little bit more football, but more to do with my rehab as well. That my rehab times were at times where you train maybe like twice, and then like in the evening you're maybe tired, or like at 7:30, for example, you're working out and there's a game on at 8, so you're rehabbing and you just can just catch like 15 minutes. So like, okay, I'm not gonna watch the game. So it's mainly to do with my rehab, really. I stopped watching games because there were at times when I was doing rehab more than me sitting down and having time to watch the games, because I was training. And then, for example, if once you're fit and you're training and you're in a training squad, if you're not playing and you've trained, for example, at 10 a.m., then you've got the whole evening off. So if the Champions League, you can watch Champions League, you can watch it in the evening. If there's games on the weekend, Chelsea are playing, you're there. Then you have the Sunday, for example, the Super Sunday, you can watch the games. But for example, on Sunday, I would maybe be doing rehab, so I'll be maybe busy when there's a game. So through that, really, I just didn't watch it as much, didn't watch the games as much. But I would always watch the big games, like Champions League. I would always watch Premier League big games. I'll always watch. I'll always watch like the top six teams who are playing. If it's Man United playing, if it's Liverpool playing, Man City, Chelsea, I'll always watch them. And that's it, really. I just like to watch, you know, great players. I like.
So
to
who's
watch
your favorite player? Because you look like a sort of Neymar type of player. Like that's you know, end product, skills, dribbling.
Yeah.
You like to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I do. I hope I can still do that. But yeah,
I'm sure you can. I've been seeing the clips on Instagram.
No, I mean, yeah, we'll have to see. I'm optimistic. You know, I'm just thinking about getting back playing football again. You know, and then seeing what I can do. But I'm optimistic. But and if you said, my favorite players, Neymar is definitely up there. He's somebody I've always looked up to. I mean, he's a great player on the ball, but he enjoys himself on the pitch. You know, football's doesn't have to be a job. You know, it's not.
Being so sometimes. Did you find coaches might try and take that out of your game? Like, let's just pass the ball, stop doing dribbling. Or have you always been encouraged to, like, you know what, Charlie, go out there, express yourself?
When I was in Belgium, I think it was, it was sort of like, there's always that element of if you're doing something and it's a bit different and you are taking time on the ball and you're trying to dribble and you're trying to do things to be creative, there's always going to be that fine line of things coming off. And things are coming off, but then you lose the ball and it might look a bit stupid or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I think to be that type of player, sort of like enjoy failing a lot, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to mind, especially when you're young, it's easier because the games, the results don't really matter.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want to win every single game. The more I came to Chelsea, I was at an age where I was 15, 16. By the time you're playing the FA Youth Cup and those games, then obviously results start to matter. But before that, really, results didn't really matter. And so I was playing Anderlecht, which was a big team in Belgium, and we were winning a lot. And we had a very good team, so it was very easy for me to do skills and win games. But when you come to England at like 16 and 15, 16, the first game I think I came here was against, I think, Arsenal. We had a game in the preseason against Arsenal. I'm not kidding. And I came on literally 15 minutes in with the youth team. I was a schoolboy, but I came on with the under-18s in preseason.
Mm.
And I was thinking, this is just fast. Like, it's just going quick, you know?
Mm.
And there was no time to do skills. And whenever I would try something and it doesn't come off, you know, the coach would be shouting at you and you're like, fuck. You know, and so you sort of like second guess it, you know, you know. But after that, you know, in training you get confidence, and then the more you train, the better it is. And then you, in games, you do it. I think it's something where you have to get more and more confident with it, but never forget who you are. Because if I'm going on the pitch, just pass the ball.
Yeah, that's not people will know this isn't Charlie Bissou.
Yeah, so even like now, when I played two games with the 23s and I'm, from the off, I want to do things with my head's going quick and whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm not there yet. I've been injured. Oh, wow. You know, you forget. But that's who I want to be, you know? So I always said that's who I want to be. And people ask me, yeah, why do you want to play football? I think the reason why I wanted to continue and play football is purely because that's who I am, you know? It's a feeling that you miss. And when you're injured, it becomes a job. Because it's like you have to train by yourself. And people won't understand it, but people who are injured will relate with me that it becomes more sort of a job because now you have to look at everything you're doing. You have to look at the rehab, the way you're doing it. You have to look at all the things that you're doing in terms of like sleeping on time and stuff like that. When you're actually injured, that's very, very important. It's important all the time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, some players play and their nutrition is not great. It's not, I wouldn't say it's shit. It's like 0 out of 10. Mm-hmm. It would be maybe like a 4 or 5. But they're playing every week. And that's okay because they're playing every week, they're performing. So it's fine. You don't second guess it. But once you're injured, if you're eating well, if you're eating bad, that sets you back. Yeah. If you're not great, all of those things set you back. And that's why it's more of a job because you have to do from the off. You have to eat properly. You have to sleep on time. When you're playing, that's something you have to do to stay on top of your game. But more so, it becomes a job because you're doing this by yourself. And football is not an individual sport. Like it's a team sport. You love training with other people. You love playing possession games, you know, shooting drills, comparing. And
especially a player competing. Like you deserve to be under the lights, under the spotlight. Yeah,
you want to play. But even training is something that you're big on. So that's what I would say. So I would say that basically it's because of who I am that I wanted to continue and I want to play football because of who I am. And so when you talk about skills and stuff like that, it's the reason why I want to play football. And when it's not, when I don't want to play football for those reasons, then I would know, okay, do you know what? This is not worth doing. So when I was injured, I always thought, okay, when I'm watching the games, I'm like, at the situations I'm looking, I'm like, I know what I would do in a situation. I want to do this. I want to do that. Or you're watching players like Neymar, or you're watching players like, and you're like, this is the type of football I want to play. This is something I want to do, you know? And that's one of the reasons you want to do it because it makes you feel happy. So that's the main reason why I continued through my rehab and trying to get back. Obviously, through the people who've been following me for a long time as well. In Belgium, who helped me get to here. My parents, my mum and dad, who my brothers, obviously, who helped me get to here. So for all those people, you sort of like, I can't give up now, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's mainly the reason. There's always going to be talks about other stuff, you know, if you had stayed, if you had done this, but I mainly do it because I know that's how I want to feel playing football, and more so the people, even like yourselves inviting me today, you know. That's why I really do it, really. And there's days where mentally you're not there, especially now I know that I'm going to leave. It's going to be tough for maybe 3 or 4 months, but I know that once that goes away, and once you start to get close to a new start, when you're feeling fresh again to play, it's going to be exciting. So, yeah, I'd like to say thank you to you guys for inviting me. I'd like to say thank you, obviously, to all the Chelsea fans who have helped me along the way, not only when I was coming through and playing and feeling good, but also when I was injured, who have never given up on me. Fantastic people. I'd like to thank everybody at the club who always treated me well. And then, obviously, yeah, from myself personally, it's just looking to build now towards the future. And like I said, the future, nobody knows. You know, my dream is still to play at the top level. So, I think challenging the odds when people said I wouldn't be able to play at the top, that's why I'm trying to play as well. It's going to take some time. You know, I don't have any set mentality of I have to go straight to the top right now, because that's not realistic. But I do know that, you know, if 26 years of age is through, which I will be when I'm going to be playing again, it's a lot of time passed. But I think from 26 to maybe 32, 33, there's a good window there to do something good.
Salah, so this is where Salah started.
Yeah, I mean, the difficult thing, I don't want to compare myself to players who've been playing because they were fit. What I'm trying to do is something that's very difficult to do. It's borderline impossible because it's 3 years without playing. And I say 3 years because 2 years I was injured, and the year before getting injured, I didn't play much either. So it's a lot of fitness that you don't have in your legs. If I was playing now, even non-league, like every single week with players, and I wasn't injured, it's easy to have that stepping stone all the time, where you're just stepping up. You have that fitness in your legs. You have that. That's easier. But to basically be training by yourself for 2-3 years and go from there to maybe one day playing at the top, it's a very jump. Impossible journey. Yeah. So it's something that's going to be challenging. So when you talk about the Salahs and the people like that who've been playing at a lower, even Kante, who came from a long, basically third division and cropping up, playing in France, coming to Leicester, playing now for Chelsea, winning the World Cup, winning every single trophy after every year. It's not something I compare myself with because I haven't played for 2-3 years. I'm sort of like in a situation where not a lot of people have been in.
Yeah.
Where you can't be playing for 3 years and then boom, one day you're the top. And that's also an exciting part of the story. I mean, you know, it's just about training, staying fit, believing in yourself, really. Because, there's nobody I can really look at and say he's done what I've done. Yeah. You know, Vardy, again, was he was playing football. So it's a difficult one. But I think in terms of the legs, it's just about, like I said, if I have the legs maybe at 26 next year, which I will be, then until maybe 33, I think now there's the right diet, there's the right, you know, information around, you know, for players to play on longer. Ronaldo's a good example.
Yeah.
He's been playing, but again, he's a good example that at 36, 37, he's still one of the best, you know. So it can be done. You know, that's the only thing I would say. It can be done. I'm optimistic that basically if I play for a year, 2 years, 3 years, then after that, probably, even I'd say after a year or two, you know, you can have that jump or you can do something. So it's just about fitness and being who I am as a player, really. And then from there, we'll see. But it's a journey, you know, mentally it's a journey, physically it's a journey, just to get back to that space where you can, you know, perform again and get people excited again, really.
We're going to be following that journey, definitely, man. Yeah, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah.
As Dot said, you've been open, transparent, and I think a lot of Chelsea fans are going to enjoy listening to this because they've sort of been wondering, where's Charlie? We don't hear from him. We've seen Insta posts.
Yeah.
But I think today, like, you've explained everything in terms of all the technicalities of the situation, the fact that it's not you that wanted to leave the club.
No, never.
The fact that the club told you that, obviously, with the contract situation. So,
No, as I said earlier, thank you so much, bro. We really appreciate it and we wish you all the best.
Nice.
So we're going to leave it there. That's another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. As I mentioned earlier, please follow the YouTube channel, which is the Beautiful Game Podcast, and follow our social medias down below. Thank you very much, Charlie.
Nice.
And have a good day.
Thank you, bro.
Over and out.
Cheers,
peace,
guys. Thank you.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.